We'll start today with our Refuot Shlemot and also just condolences to the families of the incidents from yesterday. Our Refuot Shlemot are Dvara Batina, Oz Avram Shima Ben Chana, Karmi Bat Ni'ima, Orli Panina Bat Racha Frida, Chaya Malka Esther Bat Zipporah, Daniel Ben Miriam Chayarut, Yeshua Felik Ben Lina. Okay, we're going to start with where we ended up yesterday on Kaf Daled Amud Bet. We'll review a little bit. I made a chart to review the different opinions. We have Rabbi Yosham, Rabbi Yonatan. If you remember, our Mishnah started out and said that excluded from the Din of Sota, meaning they cannot drink the Sota waters, and also the women can't get their ketubot, is an Arusa and a Shomer Yavam, someone who's engaged, they did Kiddushin. Just to maybe go back to people who haven't been learning this for a while, in those days, what they did was they would do Erusin, generally about a year before, which is what we do under the chuppah, the Berachot Erusin, that we do before we read the ketubah. In a general Ashkenazi wedding, there's the reading of the ketubah splits up the two ceremonies of the Erusin and the Nisuin. The Erusin is generally called Kiddushin, and it's, you make a bracha, asher asar lanu et arusot lanu, etc., which basically means, until that point, a woman is permitted to everybody in the world. At that point, she becomes forbidden to everyone, including her husband, because she's designated to her husband, but she's not yet married to him. And the Nisuin ceremony, which is done with Sheva Brachot, under the chuppah, is the marriage. And then she's muteret to her husband. That's the way the process works. So in those days, they would do it with a separation of about a year. So when she's in that time period, now already at that point, since she's now forbidden to everybody, if someone else sleeps with her, she's already got a status of an Esh Edish. Okay? And then we have the Shomer Yabam, who's a woman whose husband dies, he doesn't have children, and now the brother's supposed to marry the wife. So both of these women are in a holding pattern, basically. They're waiting to be married by those people. So since they're not actually married, according to the Mishnah, lo shotot v'lo notzlo ketubah, because they haven't had, we proved it from the Pesukim, you need chaye ishut, you need to have actual marriage, living marital relations with the person before he can, we're going to see, basically, he can accuse you of being a sota in that time period, but he can't make you drink the water. So he can accuse you, since you're actually forbidden at that point to be with any other man, he can do the kinoi, and maybe you can do the stira, but he can't actually make you drink the water. And that's what we saw yesterday. The first thing the Gemara said was, he can actually be jealous of her and do that whole process, but he can't make her drink the sota water. Then we saw that this issue is actually a machloket tana'im. So if you look at the chart on today's page, who's not part of Din Sota? So we said the Arusa according to Rabbi Yoshia, and the Shomer Yabam, and the Arusa according to Rabbi Yonatan. There's two different opinions. Okay, Rabbi Yoshia thinks it's only the Arusa who's excluded, and the Shomer Yabam is part of the halacha of the of Sota. That the Shomer Yabam, we saw yesterday, according to him, he thinks that since the Shomer Yabam, since the husband can, just by having sex with her without any sort of ceremony, is already considered married to her, so therefore, she's much closer to him already, and therefore the Din of Sota does apply. Okay, whereas by Erusin, you need the Nisuin in order to make them marry, which is already more difficult. We said actually Rabbi Yonatan had the opposite approach, which the Arusa was much closer, because she already had a ceremony that designated her, she already had the Kiddushin. Right? It's not like engagement in our day where maybe you get a ring or something like that, symbolic. But actually, halachically, there was something done already. And therefore, she's much closer than the Shomer Yabam, who's actually had nothing. So two different approaches. So now we try to say that, okay, if you look at, we'll go all the way back to the third line, okay, we'll read through this very quickly. Halav hachi, if you didn't have, so then they quoted all these psukim, that from the psukim it removed them from, and the psukim came to exclude either the Arusa according to Rabbi Yoshia or the Shomer Yabam, the Arusa for Rabbi Yonatan. But then we had this pasuk, you know, instead of reading the whole thing inside, we'll just look at the chart here. Why wouldn't it, the second thing in the chart is, why wouldn't it have been enough to just say, there's a drasha that says that the sota woman cheated on her husband, right? Mi baladei ishef, that she slept with someone else in addition to her husband, basically. Now, what does that imply? That she obviously slept with her husband already, in which case it had to have been that she was married or the yibum had happened. And therefore, you don't even need a special limud to exclude these people. And therefore, why do we need a special limud? So that's what we're up to now. So we said, we answered by saying that it's a case where, and we'll start from here, Amar Rabbi Bar Chama, the very middle of the page, the end of a line. Amar Rabbi Bar Chama, mishkach ala kegon sheba ala arus bevet avia. It's a case where even though he's not allowed to, he did sleep with her. In other words, the case where the arus slept with her when she was in Beit Aviyah. We talked about the fact that in Yehuda they actually had the minhag to do that. But then they say, wait a minute, tekavateka v'shomeret yabam. So if you want to say, according to Rabbi Yonatan, who also excludes the shomeret yabam, why do you need a special pasuk to exclude the shomeret yabam if already she's obviously excluded because she hasn't yet slept with him? So what case would you have to say? Would be kigon shabala yabam bebeit chamia. It means that the yabam slept with her when she was still in her father-in-law's house before he took her into his own house. In other words, again, then what did we say though? There's a problem because hashomer yabam karit la ishto mal yatehi. Since we said that the only thing you need to do if you're trying to be mekayim the mitzvah of yibum is as soon as you sleep with her, even if it's not l'shem ishut for the sake of getting married, you already are married to her. You're a full-fledged wife. And therefore, she's not even considered a Shomer Yabam. We wouldn't call her Shomer Yabam. We call her his wife. And obviously, then the Din Soto would apply. So, the Dehamar Rav, how do we know that she's Ishtom Al Yata? Kanala Kol. As soon as he sleeps with her, she becomes his full-fledged wife. And therefore, that can't possibly be the case. If we're answering the question by saying it's a case where he actually slept with her, and that's why, remember, that's why we need a special pasuk to Lima'et, to exclude that case. Because without that, right, we would have thought to include her. So the question is, why would we have thought to include her? They never have relations. Oh, no, it's a case where they have relations. But if it's a case where they have relations, then it's not a Shomer Yabam. So it makes no sense. So what's the answer? Kishmua da'amar lo kana ela l'dvarim ha'amurim b'parsha. And we said that means that if you're a Shomer Yabam and the brother sleeps with you, what happens? You're kam al shem achiv ha'met b'nachalato. In other words, he gets the nachala of the brother. And in order to divorce her now, he gives her a get and not chalitza. Okay, so therefore, but, however, it's only for those two things, and she's not actually considered his wife, because he didn't take her l'shem ishut. Okay, it just potters him from those things, but there wasn't really ishut there. So now, what would you have to say? So now, look at the chart for a minute. According to Rabbi Yoshia, who doesn't exclude Shomeret Yabam from the whole din of Sota, he actually thinks she's included. So he doesn't need to hold like Shmuel, because, right, Shmuel was talking about the Shomeret Yabam. We have, if Rav holds that she's Ishtom Al Yata, and that makes perfect sense with Rabbi Yoshia, because Rabbi Yoshia said there is din Sota by the Shomeret Yabam. So it makes perfect sense. It lines up exactly. And according to Rabbi Yonatan, who excludes the Shomeret Yabam, would have to say that it was a case where he slept with her. And if it's a case where he slept with her, she's still considered Shomeret Yabam because it holds like Shmuel, who she's not actually considered his wife. And therefore, she doesn't have Din Sota. So that's what the Gemara is going to say now. So the Gemara says, so therefore, it must be Kishmuel. That's how we answer our question. Damar lo kanal dvarim b'parsha. Then the Gemara says, so ihachi, if that's the case, lema rav damar k'rabi Yoshia, u'shmuel damar k'rabi Yonatan. So why don't we say this works perfectly? It's always great for the Gemara when they have a machloket emoraim. Two emoraim are fighting, and they say, oh, this matches perfectly with the machloket tanaim, because then he lines up with him, and he lines up with him, and they like to organize it that way. It makes perfect sense. So they say, it must be that Rav holds like Rabbi Yoshia, because Rav says, she's Ishtom Al Yata, and therefore there is Din Sota. And Shmuel says it's not Ishtom Al Yata, and therefore there is no Din Sota by a Shomer Yabam. You follow the logic of them, fits perfectly with the whole Sota notion. If you think they're really married, then obviously you think that she should be part of Yibum. And if you don't think they're perfectly married, then you shouldn't think, you should, sorry, not Yibum, Sota. Then you shouldn't think she has Din Sota. So that's what Gemara says. But now they say, no, no, no. Amar lecha Rav, you can't necessarily link these two, because it's not all based on the exact same thing. You could say like this. Amar lecha Rav, Rav could say to you, Ana da'amre afilu l'Rabbi Yonatan. I could also fit in with Rabbi Yonatan. Why? Da'amre afilu l'Rabbi Yonatan, mi de'itzdrich kra l'mi'uta, michlal de'ishtom al yatahi. Rabbi Yonatan comes and says, Rav comes and answers, if I really thought like Rabbi Yoshia, then you wouldn't even need a pasuk to say. Remember, there was this whole ish pasuk came to say it also includes the Shomeret Yabam. So what does he say? According to me, I say that it's Ishtom Al Yata, right? If it's Ishtam Aliyata, well then, you don't even need a pasuk. She's obviously part of Din Sota. So what does he come to say? He says, the fact that you need a special pasuk with the Rabbi Yonatan said, in other words, we tried to set him up with Rabbi Yoshia, who thought that it has Din Sota. He says, no. I actually think she doesn't have Din Sota. But what's the issue? I think she's Ishtam Aliyata. But despite the fact that she's Ishtam Aliyata, that's exactly, and it's because she's Ishtam Aliyata, the pasuk had to come and teach us specifically that she's excluded from Din Sota. Because the two things aren't connected. She might be Ishtam Aliyata, but she's still excluded from Din Sota. Because she's not, it's like, it's really, she should be his wife entirely. And then you wouldn't even need a pasuk. Then it would be obvious. So therefore, it must be, why do we need these drashot to talk about it? We need them because that's the whole chidush, that even though she's Ishtam Aliyata, she's excluded from the halacha for some reason. We don't know exactly what the reason would be. Okay? Ushmuel Amar, and Shmuel's going to be exact opposite. Ana de Amri afilu the Rabbi Yoshia, I can explain even according to Rabbi Yoshia. By the way, this doesn't mean that Rav switched sides and is with Rabbi Yonatan. This is just saying that Rav could explain it both ways. He could either say, like Rabbi Yoshia, that it's Ishtam Aliyata and therefore she's part of Din Sota, or he could say, no, she's Ishtam Aliyata, but despite that, there's an extra limud that teaches us that she's excluded. And likewise with Shmuel. Shmuel could say, I hold they're not really married and therefore there's no Din Sota. Or he could say, no, I actually think there is Din Sota. Ana de Amri afilu le Rabbi Yoshia, I can explain him according to me. Midi itzrich kra le ribuye, since we need a special pasuk to say ish comes to include the Shomer Yabam. That's because michlal delav ishtohi. It must be she's not really his wife, and therefore there's a special pasuk that teaches you that the Yavama is part of Din Sota, even though she's not really his wife. Okay, so now do you understand the logic? Since this is the world of drashot, you can actually say that the drashot are against what logic would say, right? That's the whole issue. Why else would you need a drasha? If it's logical, you don't need a drasha. And that's the answer here. Okay, done with that issue. Now we're going to get into a whole slew of questions today. They're going to ask a whole bunch of questions, very interesting ones. And then they're going to try to prove it from different sources, okay? Okay, we're going to start with the first one. Ibai Elihu, they asked a question. Overet al dat, tzricha ha-tra'a lafsidak tshubata, okay, now we're getting off the topic. Obviously, they're going to bring in something we learned, and that's why that's a possible answer, and that's what it's doing here. The whole Mishnah was discussing if a woman doesn't drink the waters in certain situations where she doesn't need to drink the waters or decides not to drink the waters or whatever it might be, and then her husband divorces her, does she get her ketubah money or not? So now they're going to jump. Okay, they're going to go back to Ketubot Ayin Bet, where we learn the very famous Mishnah, because it talks about Kisoy Rosh, which is of interest to everybody. It was a Mishnah that talked about there's women who are Overet Aldat Moshe and Aldat Yehudit, and the husband is allowed to divorce them without giving them the Ketubah money. Okay? These are cases where she violates something about their contract. Okay? The first category is Dat Moshe. Okay? The Dat Moshe is... Dat Moshe is where she gives him food that she didn't maiser, okay? And things where basically she's affecting him halachically. She sleeps with him when she's in nida, and she doesn't tell him, okay? There are ways that she kind of trips him up, okay? And most of the issues are isra d'oraita, okay? She doesn't take challah out of her bread, and then he eats it without being maiser, okay? So, or without hafrashat challah. That's Dat Moshe. Then there's Dat Yehudit. And those are things that seem tzniut related. It's not 100% sure if it's all tzniut or it could be like respect. In the Tosefta, for example, it talks about she walks around with ripped clothing. In the Mishnah, it talks about that she goes into the shuk and talks to different men. She, again, it's unclear exactly what all the meaning of all the issues are. And one of them is she goes out to the shuk without covering her hair. So, these are all derabanans. Okay, that's the whole thing the Gemara says. What it means is in Kisoy Rosh d'oraita, and there's a whole thing about is it d'oraita, is it derabanan? Or which way is it, what part of it? Anyway, the question here is, if she's overet al-dat, if she does one of these things, now there's a big question here. When it says overet al-dat, there's two categories. There's dat moshe and there's dat yehudi. Most of them are first say, we're not talking here about dat moshe because that's d'oraita. Okay, and that's in a different category. What we're really talking about here is Dat Yehudit. Okay, so now, here we go. If the question is, lost my place, 1 second. Okay. If she's Oberet Aldat, does she need to be warned before she loses her ketubah money or not? Okay, the assumption is, and this is Rashi's working assumption, that if it's Dat Moshe, you don't need to warn her. For sure she loses her ketubah money.
Is it but a question of whether she knows or not?
So this is a question. So we're going to see. If she's Oberet Aldat Yudi, let's say she walks out in the shuk with her hair uncovered, is he allowed to immediately divorce her and not give her ketubah money? Or does he have to warn her? Now, here the question is, what's the warning? Does he have to warn her, you're not allowed to go out in the shuk with your hair uncovered? Or does he have to warn her, do you know that if you walk out in the shuk with your hair uncovered, you'll lose your ketubah money? There's a machloket about how far the warning has to go. But the question is, does he need to warn her? And the assumption here is that this is the kind of thing that not necessarily all husbands insist their wives do. And therefore, it's somewhat, I would distinguish between Dat Moshe and Dat Yudi, that Dat Moshe is objective, and Dat Moshe is a little more subjective. Mm-hmm. It's about Hidnagud, about Kavod, about different things that, you know, that maybe there's different levels and different gradations, and there's different issues about whether the husband's makpid or not, whether it bothers him. Okay? You know, there's women who might go schmoozing with men and it doesn't bother their husbands. You know, there's a, and obviously there's also, you know, what schmoozing with men, you know, where it can come to. I mean, this is all connected with our sota issue. So now, so the question here becomes, does he need to warn her or not? Mi amrinan, do we have to say, kevan de overet al dati, lo baya hatras? Since she's overet al dati, she doesn't need to be warned. This is something everyone knows. O dilma tibaya hatra'a. Dihadraba tehadraba. That she needs to be warned. This, by the way, reminds us of the sota, because the sota also gets a warning before. Right, you always think about this in school, right? You get punished, and then you say, well, you know, the teacher says, you've been talking for months, and, you know, well, you never said I was talking in classes. You never told me, right? You know, you want to be warned first one time before you actually get punished, because if you get warned one time and you realize, then you'll change your ways, maybe. So that's the question. So what do they say? The first source they try to quote, you can look at the chart, there's three sources they're going to quote. The first two they're going to reject, and the third one they're going to accept. Arusama shomeret yabam lo shotot v'lo notlo ketubah. What did we derive from here? That's our case that we just discussed. Mishjuhu de lo shatya hakinuye makanela. Now, while it's true she doesn't drink, he can, what did we say? We said, it just says she doesn't drink, but it doesn't say that he can't warn her, right? So now, limai. What's the point of warning her? If he can't have her drink the waters, what's the point of warning her? Right? Remember what we said. Well, we learned this whole thing about kinoi and sira. At the moment of kinoi, nothing really happens. She's just warned. She's warned that if you do this, right, and you go alone with a man in a room, then we're going to lead you, you know, we're going to go do the sota process. After sira, what happens? Before it, right, there's three levels. There's kinoi, there's sira, and then there's the drinking the water. Right? Hashka'ata sota. So, once there's stira, she's already forbidden to her husband. So now, and what happens also? She loses her tuba, even if she doesn't drink the waters. So what
that's
do they say?
Only if she doesn't drink
what?
Only if she doesn't drink the waters.
Right, only if she doesn't drink the waters, right. So now, it says, Mishduhu delo shatya kinuye mekanela. So now, for this woman, what's going to happen to her? Since she can't drink the waters, she's going to be forbidden to her husband and lose her ketubah money. So, limai. So, what's the point of him doing the kinoi according to this? Is it not lahafsidak ketubata? Isn't that the point? And what do we see here? In order to make her mafsid her ketubah. But what do we say? The kinoi generally leads to the drinking the sota waters. But if she's engaged or she's a shomer yabam, the kinoi can't lead to the drinking the sota waters. So, what could it lead to? It must be lafsik ketubata. So what do you see here? She needs to be warned before she can lose her ketubah money. Perfect. Not exactly, though. We're going to have two answers. Amar Abaye, lo, lo osralav. No. Remember, what do we say? There's two things that happen. She's forbidden to her husband, and she doesn't get her ketubah money. Maybe the warning, the ketubah money, she'll lose even if he doesn't warn her. But the fact that she's osralav ba'al is only in the case where he warns her first. Okay? So that's what it might be coming for and not for that. Rav Papa says another reason, which is, no, really? You know, what's the kinoi going to? We said it can't be going lahashkot et hasota, but no, it can be. Why? Rav Papa amra lahashkotah kashihi nisua. He can start the process when she's engaged, but he can finish it when they're actually married. These are both two cases where he's going to ultimately marry her, assuming he doesn't do chalitza with the Shomer Yabam. Okay, and therefore, the point of the kinoy and stira is not lafsik tubata. In other words, she might be mafsida ktuba even without a warning. But the point of warning her is so that ultimately when they do get married, he can say, I want you to drink the waters on the man that you were alone with. Okay, you can do it later. Kiditanya, here's a proof in a braita.
If she does stira?
So the stira could happen later. The stira could happen when they're married.
If it happens before, then
he can't marry her. No, but it would be a case where the kinoy was
before,
when they were engaged, and then the stira, she was alone with the man in a room, once they were already married, then he brings her and then he makes her drink the sota waters. So now, what do they say? So, kiditanya, here's a braita that supports it. Ein mekanin la rusa lashkota kashi arusa, aval mekanin la rusa lashkota kashi nisua. You can warn her in order to make her drink the waters when she's already married. So there you have it. Okay? And therefore, you can't say that the kinoy was to lafsik ktubata, and therefore she needs warning before she gets her ktuba. We still don't know. Okay? You have a question, Ani?
I'm confused that he can do it before they're married and then follow through after they're married, but now I'm trying to understand the asura, the baal, and this whole...
So again, he warns her, they're engaged, okay? Remember, at that point she's forbidden to everybody. So now she's with some guy, he suspects her, he warns her, he says, if you go alone with this man, you know, we're going to lead down to the sota path. Then they get married. Before anything happens, then she goes into a room alone with this man once they're already married. The kinoy from before the marriage, from after the engagement, before the marriage, or for the Shomer Yabam, will work now to say, okay, now we're up to stage number two already.
And it has to be the same man, the warning and...
Yes. Yes, it has to be the same man that he warned her with and the same man who's warning her. Yes. Okay, so now, Amarava. Let's try case number two, proof number two. Almana lekohen gadol, grushava chalutza lekohen idyot. This is the continuation of the Mishnah we saw yesterday. If an almana is married to a kohen gadol, a grusha chalutza to a kohen hedyot, a mamzeret or netina to Yisrael, or a bat Yisrael, a mamzer or netin, all these are psulei chitum, we call them. You're not allowed, these people are never allowed to be married. What does the Mishnah say about them? Lo shotot velo notzlo ktuba. Okay, they don't drink and they don't get their ktuba just like the Arusa and the Shomer Yabam, right? So now what is the Gemara going to infer? The exact same thing they said before, which is, well, it's true that Mishtahu de lo shate, these women can't drink, ha kinuye mekane lehu. It just says lo shatop lo nathol. It doesn't say lo mekanin, right? It doesn't say they don't get warned by their husbands. So what might you assume? That they do get warned. Now what happens in a marriage like this? So lemai. For what purpose, right? What do we say? Generally, if you warn and then there's stira, what happens? There's two things. Asura labal and mafsidak tubata. But here, yafeh. Here she's already asura labal. So you can't say that the kinoy is coming to be asura labal. And you can't say it's coming lashkot et asota because he can't make her drink ever. So the only thing that's left, the only ramification of the kinoy could be lafsik tubata. So there's your proof. You need a warning in order to make the woman lose her ketuba. So here we have it. We'll read it inside. So ulamai ila osran alav hasiran v'kaiman, right? If it's to forbid her to him, then she's already asked her. El alav, because they never could have got married in the first place. El alav lafsidan ktubatan, so it must be lafsik ktubatan. But no, again, it's going to be rejected. Am Rav Yehuda midiskratia lo la os lo. Sorry, reads like this. Lo la osra la boel kibal. It's to forbid her. It's true she's always been forbidden to the husband, but what do we always learn? If a woman sleeps with someone else, then what happens? It's not just that she's asura la ba'al, she's also asura la ba'al. It's another ramification that comes out of the kinoy. Once he warns her, and then she goes again and she's alone in a room with a man, at this point, it's sefek znut. We don't know did she really sleep with him or not, but it's enough to go on to say at this point she can no longer be with her husband because she might have cheated on him, and she can no longer be with the guy who she was suspected of being cheated on with. So he was never forbidden to her before. In other words, now he's forbidden to her because now, and that's, oh, it's true.
He was, of course, forbidden to her.
So I'll clarify. He obviously was forbidden to her because she was married to someone else. But in the event that the husband divorces her, she should be allowed to go marry him. He's a potential, if she gets divorced, if she's an almana, she can go marry him. But at this point, she's ruined him forever. She can never marry. In other words, if the husband dies or he divorces her, she can never go back to that guy she cheated with. That's the halacha. So therefore, that's what they're saying. There's still something else. In other words, before then, we thought there was nothing else. And it had to be mafsik tubata, right? This is what you call a process of elimination. But we actually have something else that wasn't yet eliminated, right? This possibility. That it's to teach you asura laboel, and now we're going to have a proof source. Ditnan, like it says in the Mishnah, we're going to see this in a few dapim. Kishem shasura labaal, kach asura laboel. Okay? Just like at that point after Stira, she's forbidden to her husband, she's also forbidden to the guy that she slept, or that she was suspected of sleeping with. Yeah, Ani, you have a question?
And not a question, it's just a comment that it just seems so bizarre, because if the husband, the first husband dies, she's now forbidden to the man who she potentially was with.
That's a penalty.
But what man is going to want...
Like, no other man.
There's no other man who's going to want her.
It seems vindictive. I mean, it seems sort of overly mean.
Well, first of all, you remember, in most cases, she's supposed to... prove, you know, this is just, she's in a holding pattern right now. She's forbidden to everyone only until such time as we prove her innocence or her guilt. Now, if we prove her guilt, she's supposed to die. If we prove her innocence, then she's innocent for both and she can go back to both. This is different from a woman who for sure slept with someone else because she's forbidden forever. This woman is forbidden at this point in time until such time as we have further proof. If we can prove her innocent, she's permitted to. But if we prove that she's not innocent, then she's going to die, so it's not relevant anyway.
But overall, but, the law is still that if it's proved that she's slept with
right.
this other
person,
might be the only other person.
The problem is there's all these exceptional cases where she can't prove anything, which is what our mission is talking about. And in those cases, she gets stuck. It's like any system of law. The system of law works for most general cases, but there's always exceptions to the rule that you end up getting stuck with, that are just, right, that's why they have dot charidim and things like that, right, in a system of law, because there's always these exceptions, and these are those unfortunate exceptions where she ends up in this holding pattern forever.
Any
there's no way to ever prove her innocence.
Also laboel doesn't seem, it seems just vindictive, because in any situation
situation where she was badai azona and slept with him,
then her husband's going to divorce her, and nobody else is going to want her, except possibly.
Well, that's the point. It's a penalty. She did something that, you know, according to the Torah, is far beyond what she should have. I mean, she's supposed to get killed for it. So, you know, it makes sense that she should be penalized. We're trying to deter people from doing it.
But this would also seem to support that Beit Hillel opinion. That a woman can drink even if she thinks to prove herself even after her husband dies. Remember?
Right. That Beit Hillel would want it, right. If we understood it not the way that they understood it, but that she actually could be shota, it's in order to help her to get out of a bad situation.
The Gemara spent so much time on this piece of wood, is kosher, this piece, and to say
and
to
here
women,
it's, right.
They
can't
loose.
Come up with exceptions
so
and loopholes. Right. It's true. It's difficult. It's very difficult. Right, like I said, this about Don Harigim, like they could make exceptions in particular cases to allow, you know, to allow things to move on, allow these women to get their lives back. Okay, Amar Rabbi Chanina Misura, Tashma. So now we're having our third proof, which, as you see from the chart, we're going to actually prove Tashma. Ve'elu shebeitin mekanim lahem. Remember, there were cases where the beitin. Okay, if you notice, they brought three proofs, all from our Mishnah. The beitin now can come and basically operate in place of the husband in certain situations where the husband's either not there or not there mentally. Okay? And they see the wife taking advantage of the fact that the husband's away or the husband's not, doesn't have all his mental faculties with him. And therefore, they can come in and do the kinoy. Who is this? Mishne, but what's the issue? But they can't have her drink the waters again. So again, we're going to go in the same direction. What do we say here? Mishenit charesh ba'ala onish tateh. He goes deaf, which we said was deaf, both not hearing and not speaking. Or he went crazy, like his brain wasn't working anymore. Or shayach habush b'beit asurim. Okay, he was in jail. V'lo lahashkotamru. Here's the exact words of the Mishnah. Not to drink, then they can't make her drink the waters. Ela liposlamik tubata. What does it say explicitly? It's liposlamik tubata. So what's our proof now? Here you see, in order to poslamik tubata, you need to be warned. Shma mina, ba'e hatra'a, shma mina. So here you learn now, going back to our question, if she's overed al dat yudi, he has to warn her before she's mafsid her ketubah. Okay, and she gets another chance. This is interesting. You know, we talked about this, the two stages here. What the Mishnah what the Gemara seems to be getting at here is that the whole issue here of the kinoi and then the stira is to give her an extra chance. It's to give her a chance to be chozer ba. In other words, if she was really doing something with this other man, here's her warning, here's her opportunity now to stop her behavior, change her behavior, and save her relationship and her marriage.
Well, it's also, heartless. Because you could have you could have vindictive husbands who could suddenly divorce their wives without any chance.
Ah, so here they're trying to also prevent the husbands from divorcing their wives without giving them an opportunity. It's almost like the law that you have to go for marriage counseling. In other words, you can't just immediately divorce your wife without trying to go to marriage counseling.
Does the warning have to be public?
The warning has to be in front of witnesses. Yes, public enough in front of two people. It has to be in front of witnesses. Okay, so now, vikuhu my time alo amre meha. So wait a minute. If this was an obvious proof, so why didn't they start with this proof? If it says it explicitly in the Mishnah, elef islamic tibata, why did they bring other proofs that weren't so conclusive? Dil mashane hatam, they say, maybe they didn't want to prove it from this originally. Why? Because it's the weakest. Why is it the weakest? Here's an interesting one. Dilele emata de ba'al klal. These are cases where the husband's not there, or the husband's not there mentally, and the woman's not really so fearful of her husband. And therefore, it could be in that case, okay, so now you have to figure out exactly where they're going with this logic. Since she doesn't have the fear of her husband upon her, therefore, we need to specifically warn her before she loses her ketubah money. Whereas in a case where she has the fear of her husband upon her, there... She's right. The logic is a little bit.
She would be less careful because she's less nervous about him.
Right. She'd be less careful because she's less nervous, and therefore she needs another. I think the idea is that we're a little bit more merachim on this woman who's married to a man who's not all there or not physically there. And therefore, we're going to give her. And we sort of understand that she could get into that situation because she's kind of been abandoned. And therefore, we're going to warn her. Whereas another woman who's actually living with her husband and her husband's all there, well, she doesn't need to be warned. It should be obvious. Sort of seems like that's where they're going, although it doesn't 100% match the words of that her husband, the fear of her husband is upon her. But I think that's a more reasonable explanation. Okay, new question. Ibai Elihu. Overet aldat, here's a very interesting one. Viratza ba'al lekaima. Let's say she goes out in the shuk with her hair uncovered. Okay? Now, but her husband doesn't care. He wants to stay married to her. It doesn't bother him, or it doesn't bother him enough to divorce his wife, okay? Or she's moving with people in the shuk. This is what we said before, right? In other words, it doesn't bother him. Mikaima, oh, you know Mikaima. Does he have to divorce her, or is he allowed to stay married to her? Mi amrina bikpeda debal tala rahmana, that the Torah depended it on whether or not the husband cared or not. Vahalo kapid. O Dilma, kevan de kapid, kapid. Or do we say that since most men would be makpid on this kind of thing, even if this man doesn't, he should be. And therefore, in other words, the Mishnah is telling you there, you should divorce your wife for this. Okay? Or, right, and that was a question we asked when we learned the Mishnah. What does the Mishnah mean? You're allowed to divorce your wife and not have to give her the ketubah money? Or you should divorce your wife and not give her the ketubah money? So, we explained it there really as you're allowed to. It doesn't seem to imply there that you have to. It says, Tetzei below ketubah, sounds like he can divorce her, but it doesn't sound like he has to. So now, they're going to say, Tashma, let's learn it from here. Ve'elu shebeitin mekanim lehem. These are people that the beitin can come and be, right, do the kinoi. Mishen etcharesh ba'ala onish tata, o shaya chavush bebeit asurim. Now this works, by the way, we didn't mention this yesterday, but this works on a principle that's called Zachin la'adam shelo befanav. This means, if someone's not there, can you operate on his behalf without him having given you power of attorney? Okay? So now, it works like this. Zachin la'adam shelo befanav ve'ein chavin ba'adam shelo befanav. It means you can do something that's good for him if he's not there, but you can't do something that's bad for him, because the assumption is, if it's good for him, he'd have wanted you to do it. So in this case, the husband's not there. The wife is doing something inappropriate.
Is this considered good for him or bad for him?
What?
Is this considered good for him or bad for him?
Well, right. So this is the issue. According to this, it should be considered good for him, right? But if we just said that it's his prerogative, he can decide for himself, well, this person's not capable of deciding, either because he's not physically there or because he's not mentally there. So how do you know what he would want to decide on his own? So if we see that the Mishnah says you can do it, it must be that it's considered a zechut for him, and therefore it must be that he's forced to divorce her. Otherwise, how could we allow the Beit Din to do this for him? Maybe that's not what he wants. So therefore, what does it say? So Mishnah Charesh on Shteir Shachavush Beresurim. Be Iyamart Ratzaba Lekayma Mekayma Avdi Beiti Midi Didil Maloni Chalei Labal. In other words, maybe right, the Beitin is doing something that maybe the husband doesn't want. The husband has a choice. Then how could the Beitin come and do something that maybe he wouldn't want? So the answer, no. They say, no, that doesn't prove anything. Because, stama de milta, kevan de overet al dati, menach nichale. The assumption is, let's put in percentages, right? 90% of the men would not want their wives doing this, and would divorce them based on that. We can go on this 90% chance. In other words, since, right, this person's not there, and we want to protect him, since 90% of men, again, I'm just giving a random number, but that's the concept here, since 90% of men would divorce their wife for this reason, that's enough to say this is zachin la'adam. And therefore, zachin la'adam shalo b'fanav. Okay. Ibailu, another question. Baal shemachala kinuyo, kinuyo machul, o eno machul. Okay, here we have the husband warns his wife, and then before she goes into a room alone with that man, he changes his mind. And he says, you know what? I didn't mean to warn you. I don't want this warning to count, meaning that if she would go into a room with a man, right, she wouldn't be forbidden to him. Right? Okay? So now, or even, we're going to see soon, maybe it's even after she did stira. That's what happened. He forbade her to him. He doesn't want to do that. Or he doesn't want her to become forbidden. He changes his mind. So is he allowed to erase what he did? That's a good question, right? Mi amrinam bekinoi debal tala rachmana ubal hamachile lekinuyo. And that's this whole thing. This is really what the crux of the sota is. Are we dealing with the fact that the sota did something wrong objectively, and therefore we want to punish her no matter what, whether the husband cares or not? Or, let's look at how it's set up, and this is very similar, we're going to see the comparison in a minute, in the Gemara even. It's like the Ben Sorer Moreh. What's the Ben Sorer Moreh? It's a kid who's doing things, not listening to his parents, but the only way it becomes a Ben Sorer Moreh is if his parents bring him to court. The parents have to say, this is bothering us enough that we're bringing our son to court. Likewise, the husband has to say, this is bothering me enough, her behavior, that I'm bringing her to court. So this seems to be a case that's dependent on his wishes. So if his wishes change, first he warns her, but then he decides, you know what, I don't want to get into this publicly. I'll deal with it by myself, right? Deal with it on our own. So that's the whole question. Can he erase it or not? So do we say that since the whole sugi was taloi, bedat bikinoi of the Baal, and therefore here now the Baal is mochele lekinuyo, odilmo, or do we say, kevan dekane le miikara lo matze machele, or do we say no? The kinoi was taloi b'dat ba'ala. At that moment, he decided, and at this point, there's no return, right? You can go. I mean, again, we don't have time, but you can go in all sorts of directions. In other words, is this to protect the woman or is it not? Is it? Because ultimately, if you tell the man there's no return, it's like a kohen who's married and wants to divorce his wife, but he knows that if he divorces her, he can never take her back again, right? So you have to think 1,000 times before you're actually going to go through with the divorce. Because a regular divorce, so you can always remarry her. A Kohen can't. So is it trying to, you know, there, the Kohen's going to think much more. Is it the same thing here? You're not going to just randomly do kino on your wife if you know you can't take it back. On the other hand, if you know that you can erase it, well, maybe, you know, you'll be a little less careful about it. So anyway, we can think about this a lot, but we got to move on. Tashma. So let's try to learn it from here. Ve'elu shebeitim mekanim lahem. Back to the same one. Again, you're doing something that maybe the husband will change his mind about. How could they act as a power of attorney without his permission if they don't know? Maybe he would have wanted to do the kinoi, or maybe he would have wanted to do the kinoi but erase it, you know, change his mind about it. So again, they say no. Stama de milta, you can't prove anything from here because stama de milta adamas kimal dat beitin. It's the Beitin, the working assumption is the Beitin tries to get into the head of the man as best as he can. And therefore, they're going to only operate in a way that the husband himself would operate. Okay, like anyone who does a power of attorney, you trust them that they're going to do what you would have done. Therefore, it doesn't prove anything. Let's try another proof. Tashma, umosrim lo shnei tamidei chachamim shema yavo aleha bader. Remember this? On the way to the Beitin, once she's asura labal, because she did stira, at that point, he's not allowed to sleep with her. And if he does, she can no longer drink the sota waters because there's that pasuk v'nika ishma avon. He has to be clear of any wrongdoing. And in this case, he did something wrong because he slept with her once she was already forbidden. So now they say, v'i amar. So now what's the issue? They give them to Talmidei Chachamim to come with them to make sure he doesn't sleep with her. If he really wants to sleep with her on the way to the court, it's very simple. All he has to do is say, oh, I cancel my kinui. Now this is assuming what though? This that you can cancel your kinui even after stira. Okay? Now, so now they say, so Maishna Talmidei Chachamim, so now they say, no, what's the issue here? Why did they bring Talmidei Chachamim? Because they know the halacha. So why is it important that they know the halacha? Now we're going to explain that totally differently than we explained it the first time we learned it. Since they're knowledgeable, they know the halacha, what's going to happen? If they're with him on the way to court and they see that he wants to be together with his wife, what do they do? They tell him they're there to be his halachic authorities to say, by the way, do you know, if you really want to change your mind right now and you want to be with your wife and not be forbidden, you're allowed to be mochel. So therefore, in other words, we have two readings now of the source, which again would show we really have no answer to this question. One is, he can't do kinoi anymore, and therefore they're there to make sure he doesn't sleep with, I'm sorry, he can't get rid of his kinoi, and therefore they're there to make sure he doesn't sleep with her, or he can be mochel, they're there to tell him, by the way, if you want to be mochel, you can be mochel, and you can sleep with her.
Which fits with your theory that we're doing everything we can to prevent
it. Exactly, which goes into the whole thing that we're trying to prevent it from happening.
But then you wouldn't need two chachamim, you would just need one. Meaning two are witnesses.
Right, why do you need two? Right, it's true. This interpretation is not perfect.
It's weird.
It's not perfect. But the other one was weird also. Tashma. Here's another one now. To Amar Rabbi Yoshia, Shlosha Dvarim Sachli Ze'era Me'anshei Yerushalayim. Ze'era told me that he, by the way, is living, the Koran has a nice blurb about it, but he was living at the end of the Tkufat HaTana'im when already there was no Beit HaMikdash and there was like a small group of people that still lived in Yerushalayim that were considered these, you know, like great people who stayed in Jerusalem, a small group of them. Ze'era, who comes from this group of Anshei Yerushalayim, told me three things. Baal shamachalok, three halachot. Baal shamachalok kinuyo kinuyo machul. If the husband is mochal on his kinoy, it's machul. It works to be mochal. Zakei mamre sheratzu beitin limcholo mochalin lo. There's a zakei mamre. This is the guy who teaches against what the courts say, and then the courts bring him and they rule against him, and he goes and he teaches in his city. He gets killed. But if the beitin wants to be mochal, they can. Uben sorah mora sheratzu avivimo limcholo mochalin lo. Same thing with the ben sorah mora. I told you we'd get here. The parents change their mind, they can. Ukishabati Eitzel, now he continues to say, Rabbi Yoshia, and this is what the Eri told me. Ukishabati Eitzel Chavirai Shabidarom, Ashnaim Hoduli, Vazake Mamri Lo Hoduli. They said, we agree with you about the Ben Sorer Moreh and the Sota, but not about the Zake Mamre. Why? Shelo Yibu Machlokopi Yisrael. Okay, so now, first thing we learn here is Shmamina, Baal Shabachalukin Yokino Machul, Shmamina. There you have it. You can do it. Okay? Now, what's unique about those two and different from the Zakei Mamre? So the Gemara points out one thing which is very important, and we'll get to this when we learn Zakei Mamre and Sanhedrin, but the Zakei Mamre is all about the system of law. And you can't, there's no mechila in a system of law. You have to keep the court system, and that's why you can't be mocha. But when it comes to the Ben Sorer Moreh, what's unique about them that's different from the Zakei Mamre? Is that it's all based on the parents bringing him or the husband bringing her. So therefore, if they're mochel and you don't have that aspect anymore, well, then it's not relevant. Okay. Plige barav acha v'ravina. Chad amar kodem. So now we have this halacha that you can be mochel, but now the machlok is going to be like we saw before, which is kodem stira machul, balachar stira ino machul. At what stage are you allowed to do it? So we know you can be mochel, but can you only do it before she actually had stira? The other one said, no, even after stira, he can be mochel. It makes more sense to say it's like the one who says, eno machul, why? Mimai. Midikama hadre rabbana le Rabbi Yossi. From this retort that Rabbanan said to Rabbi Yossi in this braita, that we also learned this before. Ditanya, Rabbi Yossi omer ba'alan eman ala mikal v'chomer. And as we trust the husband, this is the whole thing, why? You don't need the two Talmidei Chachamim because the husband is trusted when it comes to his wife. Why is he trusted? We never say that a husband who's living with his wife who's in Nida, you need a witness there, right? You need someone to make sure he doesn't sleep with her because it's Bekare. So Sota, she belav, and there it's her curry that we don't make someone go with him. So Sota, she belav, lo kol shekain. But now here's the retort. What did they say? Amulo, lo imamarta benida sheken yesh la heter, tomar besota she'en la heter. What did he say? Nida, we don't worry about a husband being alone with his wife, which is nida, because we know in another week from now, or however many days, she'll be mutar to him. But when it comes to sota, she'll never be mutar to him. So now we say, v'i amar lachar stira machola. If you can actually be mochel after stira when she's forbidden, then mishkachala diyesh la heter, then the sota does have a heter. So therefore, right? So therefore, el shma mina lachar stira eino machul shma mina. It must be there is no mechila after stira. Otherwise, that source doesn't make sense. Okay. Meitu ba'alehen al shalosha tu. We're almost done. It's a very short end of the daf. If the husband died before they drink the waters, this is that case we talked about. Machloka beit shamai beit hillel. B'mai kamiflige. Beit shamai savre. So beit shamai says, right, she can, and she gets her. Right, Beit Shammai said that she notes lo ktuba v'lo shoto. Right, everyone agrees that they can't drink, but they say they get their ktuba. And Beit Hillel says she can't get her ktuba. So now why? Beit Shammai holds that shtar ha'omed ligvot ki gavoy dame. If there's a shtar that she's supposed to be able to collect, then it's as if she collected it, and therefore it's not a case of hamotzi mechavero alav haraya, because it's hers. Right, it's earmarked for her. And therefore, it's as if it's already collected, and therefore there's no issue of hamotzi mechaver ala paraya. But Beit Hillel savre shtar haomed legavot lav kegavoy dame. A shtar that's supposed to be collected is not like as if it's collected. Okay, there's a big nafkamina when it comes to a love and a malve. Okay, if a malve is trying to prove, a lender is trying to prove that the borrower owes him money, is it a case of hamotzi mechaver ala paraya, or do you say no? If you have a shtar haomed legavot, my shtar says you're supposed to pay me back, it's as if he already got the money back, and therefore it's not a case of hamotzina chaveru ala haraya, and the lov is the one who the burden of proof falls on him to prove that he paid back the money already. Okay? We'll go on one more minute. Mu'uberet chaveru. This was the case where she's pregnant with someone else's baby. She's not allowed to marry the husband, anyone else, because we're worried about the viability of that little baby if her... The new husband will want to get her pregnant, and therefore it'll dry her milk up. And won't care about the baby of this other guy, and the baby will be under risk of death. And therefore, you're not allowed to marry someone within 24 months of her having had a baby, if she's nursing, or maybe even if she's not nursing, because there was this gzeira in the 24 months. Amrav Nachman, Amrav Ravua, Machloket ba'akara uzkena, aval. Right. So the Mishnah said in this case, since they're not allowed to get married, right? So one opinion said, since it's a pisul, right, he's not allowed to marry her. What did they say? Lo notlok tuba v'lo shotot. But Rabbi Elazar said, no, since he can be married to her later, right, or he can marry some other woman, and therefore she can actually get her ketubah, right? That's what he said. One second. We're not really talking about the Muber. We're talking about the Ilonid and Zekena v'sheinaru yaleleid. They don't get their ketubah and they don't drink. And Rabbi Lazar said, no, since he can marry someone else, right, therefore she can. Right? They can actually be married because he can marry someone else to do Puri Rivya. The whole thing is he has to be in kind of the mitzvah of Puri Rivya. And therefore, he can marry someone else. So now they say the machloket is only in akara, a woman who used to be able to have children but now can't, or is kena, who also used to be able to. But in ailonit, everyone agrees lo shotav lo notelek tubata shenemar. Everyone says ailonit is not part of this parsha. Why? Because what does it say at the end of the parsha? V'nikta v'nizra'a zara. In the end, what will happen to her? She'll have a baby if she's proved innocent. So therefore, only misha darkala hazria. It's only someone who at least at some point had the potential to have a child. But a woman who never ever had the potential to have a child, she is clearly excluded. So basically they made this list of the Ilonit, the Skena, and the Akara, and they said there's a machloket about it, but comes the Gemara and says, no, the machloket's not about the Ilonit, because the Ilonit is Vadai, not part of this. It's only about the other two that there's a machloket about whether or not, since she had potential to have a baby at some point, whether she's totally excluded from this or not.
But then she doesn't drink and she doesn't get her ketubah. It's not fair to her.
Which one? The Ilonit?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, she doesn't.
She doesn't get to prove her innocence.
Right. The point is that she was never really allowed to be married to him, so she couldn't have a child to begin with. It's like the Psulei Chitun, basically. And because of that, he shouldn't have married her in the first place. I mean, then you have to say, well, what's going to be with this Ilonit if no one's allowed to marry her? Right, they can only really take her on as a second wife in theory. Right? It's a problem, the whole concept of this ilonit in general. I mean, that's a broader issue about what to do with this ilonit.